Welcome to the Poem of the Week. Each week, our poems are intended to help you practice the best, most current medicine by alerting you to studies that could change your practice. As usual, our host this week is National Public Radio's Dr. Michael Wilkes and Essential Evidence Senior Editor Dr. Mark A. Bell.
Hello, Mark.
Hey, Mike.
We are going to talk about a hospital syndrome here of sepsis, not our usual sort of outpatient medical problem. Just for our purposes, sepsis is a clinical syndrome characterized by systemic inflammation due to infection. There's a continuum ranging from sepsis to, you know, severe septic shock. Mortality has been estimated to be certainly greater than 10% and sometimes even greater than 50 or 60% if shock is present. There have been several major randomized trials developed based around protocol-based approaches, you know, sort of all of them early goal-directed therapy. Components of the protocols differ a little bit, but they all include early administration of fluids and antibiotics, ideally within 1 to 6 hours. They measure outcomes, in other words, the success, using central venous oxyhemoglobin saturation, central venous pressure, mean arterial pressure, urine output, yada, yada, yada. The question is, this is all great, and these protocols make us feel better as doctors that we're doing something, you know, systematic. But is there any evidence that these strict protocols have a mortality benefit? Your article this month comes from New England Journal of Medicine. It was published 2017. It starts on page 2223, and it attempts to answer the question, does early goal-directed therapy improve outcomes when treating septic shock?
Yeah, it makes perfect sense, doesn't it? And it does make us feel better, and it gives us something, certainly gives the interns and residents on the service something to do because they're constantly monitoring and checking, and they get this fancy algorithm to look at it. Like I said, it makes sense, and good on them for studying it. And so there were three randomized trials, the PROCESS, ARISE, and the PROMISE trials, and they each were designed to be similar enough that they could be combined later. So they were looking ahead a little bit, and each trial separately found no mortality benefit with this early goal-directed therapy. So they planned this meta-analysis. They ended up pooling the patient-level data from all three studies, total of 3,723 patients. The groups were balanced at baseline between the EGDT and the usual care. For the primary outcome of 90-day mortality, they found similar rates between the two groups, 24.9% versus 25.4% in the usual care group. The EGDT group actually had longer ICU stays, higher costs, required more cardiovascular support. They were basically doing more stuff to these people. And when they looked at a subgroup analysis, the severity of illness at baseline didn't seem to affect the outcomes. Those who had a higher intensity of underlying care didn't seem to affect the outcomes. There was also, kind of interestingly, in the same issue of the journal, kind of a related study, which was a retrospective study looking at New York's mandated state of New York merely mandates emergency care for severe sepsis and shock, certain protocols. They found that a delay in the timing of delivery of more basic measures, getting blood cultures, checking serum lactate, and administering antibiotics was associated with higher in-hospital mortality. So the more that those things were delayed, the worse the outcomes by about 4% per hour. So early goal-directed therapy doesn't improve mortality. It can actually make some things worse, like longer ICU stays and higher costs. On the other hand, doing some other kind of basic things like getting them antibiotics, getting blood cultures, and evaluating the patient's serum lactate, delaying those things did seem to make some outcomes worse.
Thanks, Mark. There are two comments. One is I failed to mention that there are two articles in the New England Journal in the same issue. They start on the same page I said, 2223. At the end of that article follows a second article. So just if you do go, you might want to read both of those. The other thing I found interesting, a little bit off topic, but this idea of the New York State mandating treatment, governments usually don't step in and tell us sort of how to treat patients. Clearly, there was a big problem with variations in care. And at some point, perhaps a different conversation, we should talk about whether there's evidence that when governments do step in, outcomes are better. You're suggesting in this case, it might very well be.
It's such a fraught area, and it's so, I can imagine so many things going wrong with mandated care, particularly when I think about, for example, cancer screening, where there may not be a full understanding of the harms, the potential harms, or the legislators making the laws may be influenced by device or pharma and our industry, and not making an evidence-based decision, but making an eminence-based or industry-based decision. So I'm really, really hesitant to see this kind of thing go forward. Sure, in this case, it looks like it may have had a positive effect, but boy, I don't want to go down that road for many things.
Thanks, Mark. We'll talk again next week.
All right, sounds good.
That's this week's poem. Thanks for listening. If you'd like to look at this and other recent poems, please go to www.infopoems.com. Please join us again next week for another medical poem.